Picture this. You're on your check ride. Everything has gone well. You're out in the practice area and the examiner says, "I'd like to see slow flight." And you nail it. Or you think you nail it. You've done it dozens of times in training. Stall horn singing, airplane hanging right on the edge, shallow turns, altitude rock solid. You set it up exactly the way your instructor showed you, and the examiner says you failed the maneuver. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. That scenario has played out at check rides across this country more times than it ever should. And the reason it keeps happening is that slow flight is one of those maneuvers where a surprising number of students are being trained to a standard that the Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, changed back in 2017. Not trained wrong as in dangerously wrong, trained wrong as in the definition shifted almost a decade ago and not every training environment caught up. Today we fix that. We're going to walk through exactly what the ACS asks for. Why it's different from what the old practical test standards described, how to fly it correctly, and what the examiner is watching for when you demonstrate it. Before we get into it, quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. All right, slow flight. Let me start with what most of us were taught, because I'm not going to pretend I was exempt from this. When I was in training, slow flight meant flying at minimum controllable airspeed. You'd pull the power back, drop the flaps, slow down, and fly right into the stall warning. The horn would be running, or you'd feel the buffet, and you'd manage the airplane at that audible, tactile edge. That's how the old practical test standards described the task. The ACS changed that. The current standard for slow flight, and I'm reading this directly from the Airman Certification Standards document, says, "Establish and maintain an airspeed at which any further increase in angle of attack, initiation of a turn, or reduction in power would result in a stall warning." Read that carefully. Any further increase in angle of attack would result in a stall warning. Not is resulting, would result. You're flying at the edge, but you're below the edge. The stall warning should not be active during normal straight slow flight. You should be sitting just beneath that threshold. If the stall horn is running while you're in level, coordinated straight slow flight, you're technically demonstrating a standard the ACS no longer asks for. Now, some people hear that and think the FAA made slow flight easier. They didn't. Flying just below the stall warning, without the stall horn to anchor you, is actually harder than flying with it running. When the horn is blaring, you have a loud, impossible-to-miss cue telling you exactly where you are. Below the stall warning, you're flying on trim, on attitude, on the seat of your pants, on how the controls feel. You have to develop real sensitivity to the airplane state. That takes more skill, not less. And that's the point. The ACS revision was part of a broader push toward teaching pilots to understand angle of attack, not just to respond to warning horns. The FAA wants to see that you can manage the airplane at low airspeed through awareness and technique, not by leaning on an alarm. Why does angle of attack matter so much? Because angle of attack, not airspeed, is what stalls an airplane. You can stall at a wide range of airspeeds if you get the angle of attack high enough. Understanding what the airplane feels like when angle of attack is high, when the controls are getting mushy, when the airplane is telling you it's working hard, that understanding is what makes you safer in the pattern, in turbulence, in any slow speed situation. Slow flight is the laboratory for building that feel. Let's walk through the setup. Start your configuration early and start it high. The ACS doesn't mandate a specific altitude for beginning the maneuver, but give yourself room. You'll want to be at your assigned altitude by the time you're actually flying slow flight, not still decelerating at it. Before you start slowing down, do your clearing turns, two 90-degree turns in opposite directions looking for traffic. This is non-negotiable, and it's expected procedure before any airwork. Your examiner knows it. Do it without being asked. Now slow down. Reduce power, apply carb heat if your aircraft calls for it, and slow to your flap extension speed. Drop flaps as appropriate for your airplane and what your examiner has asked for. In a Cessna 172, you might be at 10 or 20 degrees of flaps for slow flight. Know your airplane. As you slow through the stall warning threshold, you're going to pitch up to maintain altitude. That pitch attitude is going to be higher than anything you're used to in normal flight. Get used to it. That nose-high, slow, draggy picture out the windshield is what slow flight looks like. Here's where trim becomes everything. Trim is not just for reducing control pressure. In slow flight, trim is the tool you use to precisely park the airplane at the correct airspeed. If you're holding back pressure manually to maintain altitude and airspeed, you're working too hard and you haven't trimmed enough. A correctly trimmed airplane in slow flight should be close to hands-off stable. Your job shifts from fighting the airplane to monitoring it. This takes practice. The trim wheel or electric trim on most trainers moves the stabilizer in small increments. In slow flight, each click matters. Take your time getting the trim set when you first establish the maneuver. Now, here's the subtlety that trips up a lot of students. When you initiate a turn in slow flight, even a shallow turn, your angle of attack increases. When you bank, the lift vector tilts, and to maintain altitude, you have to increase back pressure, which increases angle of attack. At the airspeed you're holding in slow flight, that increase can bring you right up to and through the stall warning threshold. The solution is to keep your bank shallow, generally no more than 15 degrees in slow flight, and when you roll in, you may need to add a small touch of power to compensate for the increased induced drag and the slight rise in angle of attack. Not a lot, just enough to stabilize. Your examiner knows this. They're not going to ask you to bank to 30 degrees in slow flight. If they ask for a turn, they expect a shallow, coordinated, controlled turn. What they're watching is whether you can maintain the parameters through that turn. Which brings us to coordination. And this is critical. At slow airspeeds, adverse yaw is significant. Adverse yaw is the tendency of the airplane to yaw opposite the direction of roll when you deflect the ailerons. At slow airspeed, the down aileron on the outside wing is creating a lot of drag. If you're not leading your turns with rudder, you'll skid. And a skidding turn in slow flight is the exact entry condition for an accelerated stall. An examiner is going to watch your feet. Feet that are alive and coordinated throughout slow flight are a visible sign of a pilot who understands what's happening aerodynamically. Let's talk about what the ACS tolerances actually look like in practice. Altitude, plus or minus 100 feet. That sounds like a lot until you realize that at 50 knots with substantial induced drag, small power fluctuations create altitude changes fast. You can be on altitude and 30 seconds later be drifting 50 feet low, because the trim shifted slightly or you inadvertently relaxed back pressure. Heading plus or minus 10 degrees, airspeed plus 10 minus 0 knots. This asymmetry is important. You can be a little fast. You cannot be slow. Being slow means you've gone into stall warning territory. Being 10 knots fast means you probably weren't really in slow flight at all. The window is tighter than students typically expect. Bank angle in turns, plus or minus 10 degrees. Stay shallow, stay coordinated, and through all of this, the stall warning should not be active. That is the current standard. There's also an oral component to slow flight that examiners sometimes work into the check ride, either in the ground portion or right before the maneuver. They might ask you to explain what slow flight demonstrates, or what angle of attack is and why it matters, or what happens aerodynamically when you increase bank in slow flight. The ACS has knowledge requirements alongside the skill requirements. Know why you're doing what you're doing. If an examiner asks what would happen to your stall speed if you rolled into a 45-degree bank, the answer is that stall speed increases with the square root of the load factor. At 45 degrees of bank, you're pulling about 1.4 Gs, which raises stall speed by about 19%. That kind of understanding is what the ACS is actually testing, even when you're flying the maneuver. One more procedure that demonstrates airmanship: clearing the engine. At slow flight airspeeds, your power setting is low and your engine isn't getting great cooling. In a carbureted engine, you're also in a prime range for carburetor ice to form. The practice of briefly advancing the throttle every 30 seconds or so during extended slow flight accomplishes two things. It keeps the engine warm and ensures it will respond when you need power. And it gives you a check that the engine is healthy before you need to rely on it for recovery. Your examiner may not ask you to do this, but doing it without prompting shows situational awareness. It separates someone who memorized a maneuver from someone who's actually managing the flight. When you finish and the examiner asks you to return to cruise, the recovery matters. Add power smoothly, let the airspeed build, raise the flaps in stages according to your aircraft's limitations, not all at once, trim for cruise. A sloppy recovery, suddenly yanking the flaps up or abruptly pushing the nose down, tells an examiner just as much as a sloppy maneuver. Let me make a broader point before we wrap this up, because slow flight is one of those training maneuvers that has implications that go well beyond the check ride. Every normal landing is a slow flight exercise. Think about what happens from the time you turn final to the time the wheels touch. You're configured, you're slow, You're managing pitch and power and coordination while simultaneously flying a precise path toward a fixed point. Everything that makes slow flight technically demanding in the practice area is happening simultaneously in the traffic pattern, with terrain and obstacles and other aircraft and radio calls added to the workload. When pilots get into trouble in the pattern, it is almost always because the airplane entered a slow flight regime that the pilot didn't recognize or recognized and responded to incorrectly. The skidded base to final turn, the stall in the flare from carrying too much back pressure, the low final where adding power came too late, all of those accidents have slow flight awareness at their core. A student who genuinely masters slow flight, who can feel the airplane's response at high angle of attack without leaning on a warning horn, who can manage trim and coordination and power at the aerodynamic edge, is a safer pilot every single time they fly a traffic pattern. The maneuver and the real-world application are inseparable. So when you go out to practice, this is how you do it. Right. Set up the airplane, configure flaps, slow to just below the stall warning, trim precisely, establish that nose-high attitude, then hold altitude and heading within tolerances, do your shallow coordinated turns. Clear the engine periodically. If the stall horn activates, ease the nose forward just enough to get back below it. Recover cleanly when you're done. That's the maneuver. That's the ACS standard. And when you're on your check ride and the examiner says slow flight, you set it up, you hold it, you fly your coordinated turns, and that stall horn stays quiet. Information for today's segment comes from the FAA Airman Certification Standards for Private Pilot and the FAA Airplane Flying Handbook, both available free at faa.gov. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern, see you next time.